Whatever happened to Wolfcrow? Not sure. I think without Viper in Street Fighter 4, in Street Fighter 5, and again, keep in mind too, and because this is not a knock on Wolfcrow, it was hard for Street Fighter, for players who started in Street Fighter 4 to transition to 5. In fact, the majority of players who came up during that time, like in SoCal, like the, you know, Andy OCRs and the Snake Eyeses and, you know, the Wolf Crones from the Midwest, etc. A lot of the people who you know, basically made a name for themselves in Street Fighter 4 had Zangief disappeared long before that, long before we got to 5, had trouble with Street Fighter 5 because, again, Street Fighter 5 is the most different Street Fighter game to this day. It doesn't play anything like the old Street Fighters at all. And so a lot of the, and you know, even the players like Daigo or Justin who, and it took Justin a few years, it took Daigo a year or two. And, you know, Daigo has said, I had to relearn how to play Street Fighter for Street Fighter V. Justin had to find a character like Manat, so that he didn't have to play Street Fighter V. He could play his own style of game. He could play the Justin style of the game. Edma got third place the year that Daigo won and Justin got second. Edma was right behind there in third place. But again, Street Fighter V, very, very different game. So a lot of the people, like Wolfcrow, who are very, very good at Street Fighter 4, could not transition to Street Fighter 5. It was a very, 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 very different game. It was a very different game. Yeah, Snake Eyes obviously won. Snake Eyes, but Zangief also kind of played less Street Fighter than other characters. this is just water. This is just water. Infiltration, if he wasn't banned, he would probably be doing well in Street Fighter V, because Infiltration was also one of the first players winning Evo. He was the transition point between the heart players and the scientists and the mind players during Evo. So if you actually look at it, it was Daigo, heart, Fudo, heart, Infiltration, heart and mind, and then Sien, who was a mind player. So you could kind of see that transition going. Luffy won the next year, so it kind of went back into the heart department over there. But again, Infiltration was kind of one of the first players that really started ushering in the mind players, really starting to show their stuff a little bit. Infiltration is still more heart than he is mind, but he had the ability to play the mind part of it. But also, if you remember, in the first season of Street Fighter V, Infiltration seemed impossible to beat when everybody was playing the game as pure heart. So actually, I changed my mind. I think Sien was the real transition. Infiltration could not be beaten at the beginning of Street Fighter V when we were all playing by heart, when he was playing Nash on ice skates. But then in the second half of the season, Infiltration stopped winning. And in fact, in that Capcom Cup, went 0-2. He went 0-2 in the first year of Street Fighter V. So, you know, even Infiltration had a little trouble at first. He was only succeeding when we were all trying to play a heart Street Fighter V. And as the game moved on and we realized that wasn't possible, you know, Infiltration definitely lost a little bit of steam there. So that's really kind of the situation. Then again, he got banned afterwards, so then we'll never really know what happens at that point. Sien played, he started with Fong. Fong sucked and he switched to Ibuki. He really got known for Ibuki, and then he started switching between a bunch of different characters afterwards. So, at this point, Mena RD, best player. Red Bull Kumite, amazing event. Absolutely amazing event. And again, shout outs to all the talent that was there. Of course, it was me, Tasty Steve, Justin Wong, F-Word, Logan, Yipes, Persia, Z, Rob TV, L.I. Joe. Of course, L.I. Joe and Rob were not doing commentary. Persia only did one block of commentary. But shout outs to the talent there. It was just so much fun. They took care of us so well. I think it's great. Still think Street Fighter 6 is a predominantly a heart game? No. No, I never thought it was. It's just it was way more heart than other games, and it is in a position right now where it can be still played with heart, but just not quite the same. It's still very scientific and very frame data heavy. And in fact, the frame data even adds to the heart. Thankfully, we do have perfect parry, so we can blow up frame data. But again, like, you have to know, like, should I perfect parry after, for example, what's a good example? Should I perfect parry after light spin knuckle with Cammy? Should I perfect parry after heavy spin knuckle with Cammy? Right? Should I try to perfect parry the counterattack? The answer is actually yes and no. On the light one, yes. On the heavy one, no. Why? Frame data. That's why. You're minus after the light one, so the opponent wants to poke. You're plus after the heavy one, so your opponent's gonna block. So again, still requires the knowledge even to implement a lot of the heart. So Street Fighter VI is still very scientific, but there is a lot more heart factors. Also, because the game returns to neutral a little bit more often, moves push you away, throws have farther range, etc., etc. But the frame data is still very, very important. Oh, DJ Blues, I hate perfect parry, and I think they're kind of broken. I think they're kind of broken, but I get why they're there. That's the difference, right? You can be a person who dislikes something, but understand why it's there. I would want to nerf perfect parry a little bit, but still leave it to do the thing that it can do right now. I want it to be, why are they there? So we can ignore frame data. So we can fight frame data. Every Street Fighter game up until 5, you had a way to disrespect frame data. Whether if you were -2 or whatever like that, if you had an invul DP, I could backdash and be invul. I could just defend or parry in CVS 2. In Street Fighter 4, I could uppercut FADC backdash to be safe. In Super Turbo, throws were one frame, so it didn't matter. You know, every game has a way to disrespect that frame data, except for Street Fighter 5. So in Street Fighter 6, the reason why it's better is, one, you have perfect parries, and two, a lot of characters do have ODDPs that can disrespect it, and it's not as bad because the OD gauge is tied to the drive gauge, which means you have it more often, which means you can use it a lot. So in other words, Ken doing low forward, medium Jinrai, and then you do an OD to just basically blow through it. You can do that more often because you also gain your drive gauge back naturally. So not having pure invincible DPs doesn't feel as bad because you have them a lot. You have invul DPs a lot in Street Fighter VI. So your ability to disrespect frame data, your plus ODDP, is far more frequent than it was in Street Fighter V. Because in Street Fighter V, you only have those four bars, and you're taking yourself away from the supers, etc., etc. So it's better in Street Fighter VI. It's not as bad. Perfect parry does require high execution, but the problem is that's why if you start understanding when it's their turn. You, for example, one of my favorite perfect parry spots with Kimberly is doing forward heavy kick. I do forward heavy kick, and then if you bounce upward or bounce over their head, a jab will beat Kimberly out of the air 100% of the time. So a lot of people will block that and jab immediately. However, towards heavy kick is -3 on block. So if I don't hop, I'm safe, but all I can do is block. But since everybody presses a four-frame button afterwards, yes, it's hard to be consistent at it, but my success rate of perfect parrying after towards heavy kick is fairly high considering that it's only a two-frame window, because everyone who's pressing their four-frame jab after I do towards heavy kick is, like, consistent across all characters. Like, everybody's doing it. And so the timing to be able to parry that is fairly consistent between every character. So, you know, you can get good at it or put yourself in a position where your chances of getting it are very high. Yeah, so forward heavy kick seems useless outside of combos. That's where I learned, right? I learned to try to perfect parry after that. And now there's a little more practicality to it, except for the people who always jump back and attack. Now what I have to do is not try to parry, but let them jump back and walk, basically. So the other problem is it also has 900 years of startup, so it gets hit by everything. So the forward heavy kick is still pretty shitty. Anyway, that's another story. But that's kind of that's why perfect parries are there in the game, because they are the universal mechanic that blows up frame data, that allows you to disrespect frame data. And not having the ability to disrespect frame data means if you had 0 meter in Street Fighter V, if Karin did crouching medium punch into stand medium punch, there was literally nothing you could do. If you predicted she was going to stand medium punch, and you knew 100% within your soul she was going to stand medium punch, there was zero ways to punish it. So the only kind of situations in Street Fighter history in which you could know something is coming and you literally had no way to beat it. Literally no way to beat it. Karin, Karin, crouch strong, stand strong. Nothing. Nothing you could do. Nothing you could do if you didn't have a meter for an ODDP. And that sucked. But again, if you're a mind player, the game tells you that. And so you know after you block the crowd strong, here's the Street Fighter V RPS. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm supposed to do. The game has given me the mix-up, so now I can play the mix-up. So a lot of people who love numbers, who love the frame data, who are scientists, Street Fighter V really ushered their way into fighting games. They now know how to play fighting games because of that. And that is the strength of Street Fighter V, is that it allowed bringing in a whole sect of players that we didn't have before. Yeah, focus attack could do it. Focus backdash. Yeah, absolutely was a thing that you could do in minus one, minus two situations. You know, you had to come up with option selects to beat the backdashes and stuff like that. Yeah, forward heavy kick should have been a better mix-up, DJ Blues. I wish there was one more option to make a better mix-up, but again, that's a Kimberly discussion. We'll have that discussion some other stream. So is there a consensus that Street Fighter V was the worst Street Fighter? No, no. As much as I talk about this, that does not make Street Fighter V a bad game. It makes it a very different game. It's a very, very different game. Like I said, it is the most different Street Fighter that exists out of all the Street Fighters that are out there. And a lot of people love it. Alpha 1, I think, is like without question the worst Street Fighter, probably. I mean, that game was just useless, honestly. Street Fighter 1 doesn't count. Dude, it doesn't count. So, I see some people sitting here saying Street Fighter V is better than Street Fighter VI. And again, if you are a player who prefers that, the numbers games, the mind games, and having the game kind of guide you in which way to go, in the end, it does become about the decision making, because now it's about, would this guy do this multiple times in a row? Would he do this? And then the neutral got more interesting in Street Fighter V towards the end, etc. So absolutely, absolutely, there are people out there who love Street Fighter V, and they are not wrong. They absolutely have every right to love this game. For me, it wasn't my game, but I learned to really enjoy it. At this point, I like Street Fighter V more than I like Street Fighter IV. I know that'll make a lot of people mad, but Street Fighter IV ended my career in that game with unblockables and vortexes, and I just freaking hated that. I mean, I got unblockable by Alex Myers, and then Chris T hit me with a cross-up and landed in front and hit me. And I was like, I'm not even playing fighting games anymore. I'm playing set play the fighting game. And so I quit. And there's a lot about 4 that I don't like. There's a lot about 4 that I absolutely love. There is a lot about RS1. Let me guess what your favorite Street Fighter is. Third Strike? Third Strike, I think, is your favorite, right? If I'm not mistaken. if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. How are you doing, sir? How are you doing, Luca? How are you doing? Oh man. I haven't seen you. I only see him at Evos, dude. I only see Luca at Evos. But I miss him. I miss you terribly. I miss you terribly, terribly, terribly. Again, you want to talk about one of the greatest people in the fighting game community, RS1. I mean, biggest, most huggable, friendly guy in the world, dude. Shout out to RS1. But yeah, that's the thing, right? None of these, like, I don't think, I mean, some people out there even like Street Fighter 1, Alpha 1. I could say they're wrong, but for the most part, most people aren't wrong. Like, Alpha 2, Alpha 3 is a big debate. Which one's better? Just depends on who you are, right? It just depends on who you are. So some people like Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Oh, yeah. Nathan, come here. Nathan, come here. Nathan, come here. RS1, this is my kitty, Nathan. Jasmine is hiding somewhere else. So Alpha 1 walks so Alpha 2 could run. And so Alpha 3 could fly, literally, because you juggle the opponent forever with custom combo infinites. Earlier on stream, I was giving him belly rubs, so he was helping me calm down after getting mad about Blanca in Street Fighter 6. So, it's not Gundam Jehudikai. It's really not. I still hate that game so much, and I know I'm in a unique position because, well, I don't know. A lot of people hate it, but like supposedly it's getting a resurgence, but. Freaking, no, DJ Blues, those are two different people. Riz1 is the Super Turbo fan. RS1 is the Third Strike player from SoCal. One of the best trash talkers you will get in SoCal. But yeah, Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 5, Street Fighter 6 are all great games. Honestly, from an objective standpoint, from a subjective standpoint, you can hate them. And I have no argument because, like I said, Super Turbo is a piece of junk. I said this in my rant last week. Super Turbo is a piece of junk. It really is. Any game where a character can go off the wall and kill you all day and you can't block it because it's stupid and he can loop it is not a good fighting game. But goddamn, do I love that fighting game. Fighting games are flawed, and that's why we love the fighting games, man. That's why we love these fighting games. And in the end, it's just which flaws can you put up with the most, right? So Street Fighter 4, 5, 6 all have very, very good things about them. Obviously, things with 6 are a little bit exacerbated because of the $1 million prize. I mean, money changes the way we look at a lot of things. But if we released all these games during that, you know, period of time where we didn't have the esports and everyone was just playing in arcades and playing for fun and playing for love, et cetera, not saying that they're not doing that now, but I'm just saying when you have the idea that you can win $1 million from it and when you have the idea that you can win $60 for getting first at your local, you approach fighting games differently. There's a reason why MVC2, CVS2, Third Strike, all those games have the love that they have from that time, despite all being very broken games, right? Like they're very, like when CVS2 came out, we were all crying about Blanca and Sagat, but we just had to fight him. We just did, right? But if that game came out, if Super Turbo came out now, like if MVC2 came out now and like half the characters aren't playable, dude, like we would all be talking about these fighting games like they're the worst fighting game on the planet. Like clearly, like all, dude, you know, it's so different. It's so different. And so, you know, while we don't necessarily personally enjoy the game, objectively, 4, 5, and 6 are all really good games. They have filled niches that the other games don't. And they provide a lot of very, very strong things for a lot of different people. They are objectively not bad games. Like I can say Alpha 1 and Street Fighter Cross Tekken are absolutely objectively bad games. Sorry, just had to throw that dig in there. Throw that dig in there. Had to throw in that dig. Sorry, Cross Tekken lovers. By now, if you're in my stream, you know what to expect whenever anybody brings up Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Sorry. Oh, man. In any case, Red Bull Kumite, amazing event. And yeah, they said next year they're going back to Paris where it all started. I mean, honestly, I will say this. I've often very scared about my own commentary. I'm also very down about my commentary and scared a lot of times. I felt like my commentary this weekend on Sunday, not so much on Saturday, but I felt like Sunday was some of the best commentary that I've done recently. I felt it, and again, a lot of it has to do with being paired with Steve and Justin, as well as Steve and Yipes, because they are all the easiest people in the world to work with, and there's just so much love between us all. Like I said, after every match, we kept hugging and fist bumping and shaking hands and shit like that, because we were just like, yeah, that block was sick, you know? I was really happy with how I did during that event. So, you know, if you guys have any advice or any feedback or anything like that, please let me know. But I really hope Red Bull appreciates what I did and added to the event. You know, I tried to talk about the stories, talked about Gachacoon, for example, not wanting to be a pro, but, you know, like it was Red Bull Kumite that got him to do that. You know, I made sure to highlight Justin and Yipes as being two of the prodigal sons of New York. Wanted to make sure I took the time to mention people. I couldn't find the right time to throw in a mention of Chris Hu, though I really wanted to throw in a mention of him, but, you know, I felt like I got a lot of the history stuff in there. So, you know, I hope they bring me back for Red Bull France next year. Really, really do. Because the last time I was in France was for Red Bull. And I would love to go back for Red Bull again. Hopefully not as dramatically as I did last time, as my passport wasn't expired when I tried to go. But then I found out if your passport expires in like 3 months, that counts. And so they didn't let me fly. And so literally in one day, I had to pay all this money, stand in lines at my federal building and all this stuff to get my passport, a new passport in a day, overnight and no sleep. And then I finally made it to France and I was able to join for that Red Bull. That's crazy. Oh, Justin and Chris are not related. They're not related, dude. I mean, it's just like when Lillian Chen from the Smash Brothers scene, Milk Tea, like, we always just call each other brother and sister. Like, hey, what's up, sis? I haven't seen you in a while, blah, blah, blah. And one person on Twitter was like, oh, my God, are you guys really siblings? I never knew that. No, it's just a bit. It's just a bit. do I feel like I commentate better after traveling long distances or commentating events that happen closer to home? DJ Blues, it just really depends. Some days are better than others. Commentary is just like performing at a tournament. As a player, just some days you're just not on. Some days you're just on. Like me and Jeremy have had conversations where I was just like, I don't feel like I did very well this block, you know? Like, just sometimes it just happens. Clearly, I'm super nervous about ARC World Tour this weekend because I know all of the game fans do not think I belong there. With absolute justification. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know anything about Grand Blue, right? Like, I'm literally learning it on the fly the last month, you know? So absolutely, they have every right. But again, if anybody from those Grand Blue scenes who was like, James shouldn't be there, look, I'm telling you right now, I'm broke. I need money. They asked me, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do the best I can, man. I promise you, I will not disrespect your game, man. I promise I will not disrespect your game, and I will do the best that I can. And like I said, I love Undernight, so you have no worries about me having that love come out when I talk about Undernight. But Grand Blue obviously is still fairly new to me, but I'm really enjoying it. I will play it a lot after Arc World Tour is done. So for sure, this is not just me doing a one and done here, honestly. So